takedown of this global criminal empire.
That's an image of strength.
You'll get the raw, hard truth here on The Tipping Point. So come join us Mondays, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern in Studio B at revolution.radio.
This is the people's war. It is our war. We are the fighters. Fight it, then. Fight it with all that is in us. And may God defend the right.
Warning! Warning!
We've got to stop them! They're going to kill us all!
See how the trouble you've started?
Be they the government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be they anyone, or human beings.
Time when the operation of the machine becomes so obvious, makes you so sick at heart, that you can't take part. You can't even passively take part. And you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop. And you've got to win the day to the people who run it, to the people who own it, that unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all.
Revolution Radio of freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported talk radio station, throwing ourselves upon the gears of the machine. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
You called down the thunder, well now you've got it.
Right, you tell them I'm coming, and hell's coming with me, you hear? Hell's coming with me!
Revolution Radio!
We can change.
Yes, we can. One heart and mind at a time. You're listening to Revolution.radio. I'm your host, Jay Parker. It's February 15th, 2024. And our guest tonight is Mark Passio of WhatOnEarthIsHappening.com. Tavistock Institute's favorite comedian, the head of the Eloy dissatisfaction party, and I got one more, Mark. I forgot it was a zinger too. Well, I'll just stop there.
You always do the best intros for me, Jay.
Oh, I tell you.
I'm enjoying the little mini series we have going here on Revolution Radio on the Center Path. So thank you for bringing me on again.
Yeah, I mean, I'm really at this crucial time in human history. I mean, any time you want to come on, you got a platform with me.
Cool, thank you, man.
I'm just beside myself.
I'll tell you what, after I'm through with the topic that I'm covering, which may be a few more weeks, I'd like to bring you onto my show again as well.
Well, that'd be great.
Definitely.
Maybe I'll come up and see Chedwood.
Yes. Absolutely.
The villa.
Yeah.
Well, I just got done listening to Mr. Diarrhea Brains himself, Yuval Noah Harari.
Oh, my God.
Featured
a living antichrist.
A audio tape that, you know, the previous show had, and that's Mr. Rowe in Reality Extraction. Mm-hmm. And what's really funny, Mark, is...
Yeah, I've heard his show. He does a very good job.
Yeah, he's excellent. Before I turned him on, like, 8:05, I was like, oh, Mr. Rowe's on. I got to hear Yuval Noah Harari and the World Economic Forum Diarrhea Brains, you know? And son of a gun, the first thing I heard was Yuval. And I
how,
was like,
how soul ill is that thing? I mean, that is the epitome of spiritual illness, you know? And you just think about it. That's just an incarnation of what a lot of the people of this world are walking around like all around us. How many books has this guy sold? How many people buy into his ideology? How many people
think
he's a good person?
Yeah, 15% of the population are generational dark occult.
Yeah.
So they're all loving it, you know?
It's pretty
that
amazing.
That guy talks. They go for the lotion and Kleenex.
it's kind of true. I mean, it's amazing how many people think that these are good ideas. How many people think that this person is trying or even attempting to do something good for our planet and people?
He's not mincing words. This is all about setting up a totalitarian dictatorship of the world for the elite.
Yep. And being
you know,
able to
it's like Warren Buffett.
Right.
You know, we're at war with the middle class and we're winning. They're not pretending that, you know, they're altruistic and they want to help humanity.
They're going right for the juggler, you know?
The pedal is to the metal.
It's amazing that they could actually be that blatant, and yet people still don't understand that they're trying to set up a society that they would have every piece of information available about how everybody thinks, potential behavior, be able to nip rebellion and any blowback that might come their way in the bud long before it happens, with tremendous AI computing power and just basically turning everything into a technotronic
we're talking
hell.
A Minority Report universe.
Yep.
I mean,
exactly.
You know, you're going to be pre-crime convicted, in the cradle.
And that's what people have to understand is that the people who are really running our world, I call the control system a technocratic occultocracy. Now that's
an excellent way to describe it.
Yeah, it's a big term, but it basically means that we're up against technological sorcerers of the dark occult world.
Well, and this is what John Dee got from the macrobes.
Of course.
He said, if you give me this knowledge, what do you want back? And they said, blood.
Yep.
He's there, how much do you want? And he put the whole planet up.
Yep. You know, that's what they want to create. They want to create a technocratic hell from which the people of this planet can never really escape, and from which they don't even understand that they are actually in. You know, people can't even see evil in the world today. They can't even see a complete totalitarian system being built up around them. They're not even on their own side. They're not even acting in their own interest. They're not even on their own team, so to speak. And they're championing these absolute lunatic, satanic psychopaths because the people of the world don't even understand. They don't have the grammar, the data you know, in the aggregate sense, to even understand who and what they are up against. And that's why I keep going back to, you have to liken this to a traditional war, right? So a traditional war, you could say it's, what are the weapons of traditional physical warfare? Okay, it's planes, bombs, tanks, missiles, guns, bullets, etc., right? We're very familiar with these traditional weapons of warfare. You know, we've heard about them, we've read about them, we've seen photographs, we've seen movies, etc., we've seen documentaries, and people can make that association to regular physical war. But I ask people all the time, what are the weapons of the war that we're actually in right now? We're in a form of psychological warfare. We are in a form of informational warfare. What are the weapons of that war? The weapons of that war are, number one, first and foremost, and primarily, the human mind and the human spirit. Number two, the next thing to people, and most people can't identify that's the major weapon of this war, is the mind. And it is besieged at all times and places. And people still have not made the general association that the mind has to be improved. The mind must be changed. We have not been free because we've been thinking the same ways. We have to think differently to create human freedom. The ways in which we have all collectively, in the aggregate sense of humanity, been thinking, which has been driving our behavior in a certain direction, has always gotten us the state of human slavery in human antiquity all the way through to the current time in which we live. That means that if we keep thinking that way in the mind, we are going to keep receiving the same results in manifested reality. And I keep going back to this because people will often say, you're not telling us what to do. You're not giving a solution, because people want a solution in the form of, are you ready, folks? Get a piece of pen. Get a piece of paper and a pen or a pencil, and you're going to write down step number one, do this. Step number two, do that. That's not how solutions work, ladies and gentlemen. I hate to burst everybody's bubble, but that's why people don't generally like my information so much. They want to hear childish, simple-minded solutions to big, complex problems of human thought processes that need to be changed over the entire species if we're ever going to get out of the mess of human bondage and slavery that we are currently in. And what I'm telling you is the overarching general solution, that for the external manifested reality to change in our experience as a species, the individual mindset of the people of this planet need to change. And unfortunately, very highly unfortunately, that is what is largely not changing. We are still believing that the answers or the solutions are external to our mindset. The mind is the first weapon of the war that we are in. It is the spiritual battlefield. And if you don't understand that, you don't understand the nature of the war that we are in. This is not a political war. This is not a financial war. This is not a technological war or a traditional physical war. It has elements of those things, right? Especially technology, which I want to get to in a moment. But it is non-traditional warfare. It is psychological. It is mental. It is spiritual. And people have to understand what the weapons of this type of warfare, the nature of this war, are. And they do not yet even understand that the mind is the primary weapon. And that is what is constantly being attacked, because if you can destroy the weapons of the enemy, they can't wage war. And that's why our minds are constantly being besieged by the techniques of mind control and degradation of the mind and the psyche that the dark occult wields upon humanity. But the main, the secondary weapon of war that the people have to really get a handle on just think about it from a logical, common sense perspective. What is the main weapon of an informational war? How, if you're going to wage informational warfare, if you're going to wage warfare that is ultimately at the very highest level a spiritual war, and through our manifested reality in our individuated consciousnesses as people, the war is of the mind. It takes place in the battlefield of the mind. And you are attempting to get ideas propagated, correct ideas, ideas that are truly liberating, ideas that are truly going to help people advance and grow spiritually, mentally, emotionally. You know, what is going to be the ultimate battleground in the physical domain for the dissemination of those ideas that could propel us to victory? If you just think about it logically, if you sit down and you just think about how do they do it? How does the dark occult do it? How does the mainstream media, which is the weaponry of the dark occult world, how do they do it? How do they propagate their ideas? How do they get their completely erroneous belief systems and thoughts into the minds of the population to dumb them down, to degrade their mind and spirit? They do it through technology and communication. They do it through methods of modern communication and publishing technologies. People have still not made that fundamental understanding. And this is where we kind of left off in our discussion the last time I was on your show, Jay. I was talking about the importance of technology as a component of this spiritual battleground, this informational warfare that we find ourselves in. And I really don't think that this understanding has yet been integrated into the main body of the population. I was actually listening to the InfoWars broadcast today, and the fourth hour was done by Drew Hernandez, and he was talking about this to the listening audience today, actually on InfoWars, which I really found interesting, because it seemed that he understood this component of spiritual warfare, and he was telling the audience, you have to stop looking at technology as something that is for someone else. You have to stop looking at technology as that's something for the younger generations, and I don't need to know that, and that's not for me. You know, he was explaining to people, this is how they propagate their satanic ideologies, and if we're going to propagate something that is truly good spiritually out into the body of the human population, we have to learn those technologies and be able to employ them in this type of spiritual warfare and informational warfare. And I really think that the population has to deeply grasp that and really try to take the reins of those weapons of war, of modern informational warfare, because that's where I think we're losing we are getting crushed in that capacity. We are losing that dynamic more so than any other dynamic. And that's what I've been trying to explain to people, is that the solution is not a technological solution, but there is a technological component to the ultimate solution, which is the change of the human mind and the advancement of human spirituality in a way that is truly liberating to the human species. But there is a technological component to that, and people have to accept that, and they have to work toward a command of those modern weapons of informational and spiritual warfare.
Well, when you are speaking about the fact that we need to broadcast our message more widely, because yes, as Hitler said through Goebbels, you know, just repeat the lie as many times as possible, and eventually people will believe it.
Right.
Well, if you keep repeating it and hammering it and hammering it, it's going to sink in.
You know what's even more powerful? When you keep repeating the truth. When you repeat the truth, people also will eventually seep into their consciousness, and then they will not just believe it, but eventually they will look into the data and then understand that the truth had been told to them. The truth can be just as powerful, or I would say even much more powerful in that way, when we broadcast it out into the field of consciousness through modern
absolutely.
Forms of technology.
We're in a collective consciousness paradigm, and it's our lives, you know, the purpose of us being here is to stand up against tyranny and against Satanism.
Definitely.
And if your life is something other than that, other than being a cell in the body of Christ, you know, and promoting the consciousness of freedom, then you're missing the whole purpose of your existence. But I just wanted to give you a message from Mr. Rowe, Mark, that you'll definitely enjoy.
Sure.
This is a Revolution Radio chat room, and it says, Jay Parker and Mark Passio are live on X.
Hmm.
Testing Super Lucky Dragon Premium Broadcast Service.
Nice.
Well, you know, it's a start. We should be doing that. We should be – see, Revolution Radio is starting to use X because X is allowing them to.
Why not? Use every platform that's available onto us. Sure. I think that's a great strategy.
I mean,
I wish more people would take the reins of technology and broadcasting. I mean, we have phenomenal broadcasting tools at our disposal. I always harp on software and say how it should be improved and made better. Of course, I want the job of, you know, content creators such as ourselves made easier and better. We have to take advantage of what we have at our disposal. There's never been a time in human history such as this by which the average everyday person has the ability through basic technology to reach out into the field of consciousness of humanity and broadcast messages into that field. And if we're not taking advantage of that, as you said, Jay, we're not doing what we've been put on this planet to do, which is to defeat tyranny and make this place an expression of true learning and growth in consciousness for everyone instead of the prison that it's been turned into.
Well, you know, all I can say is, you know, we're fashioned by the Creator to have a mind that can reason. And, you know, that's the first thing they do in school is they take your reason from you, they take your imagination from you, and they put you in that cookie cutter, John D. Rockefeller, obedient worker brainwash. And you know something? What I'm saying to everyone is like, you know it's going to hit the fan. So, you know, decide you today whether you're going to serve creation and justice or whether you're going to sell out, you know, to the pedophiles.
I want to go back to the basics of reaching out to people, because a lot of people within the sound of our voice are still in the mindset that they are not the ones who need to put the information out there for others. They often will listen. They'll be passive. We've been trained as a society to be passive and to accept information, but we are often will not look into our own power of being able to broadcast a message and influence other people for the better. And every person has that capacity within them. And we have to stop looking at it like, this is just a job for like experts. This is just a job for people who, you know way, way, way more than me. And I'm not saying I want a bunch of uninformed people just spouting nonsense. I obviously would want people to really do their research, do their due diligence, and really come onto the understanding of true morality, natural law, what is going on with the control system, how their methods of manipulation and mind control work, how the occult really operates and what it espouses and believes in, and how it goes about controlling people. all of those things we have to broadcast out into the field. We have to get people to understand deeply, not just peripherally or cursorily. We need deep understanding of all of those topics. But the people who are out in the listening audience need to understand that's not experts' jobs. And you hear this a lot in the whole community is, oh, leave that to people who really know how to do all of that stuff. And I think that's a really bad message and idea that doesn't really do service to humanity as a whole. We should all be the what I call the true media. We should all be reaching out to the extent that we are able to do so with the power of our mind and our voice, and helping to influence other people to come around to a better understanding of the world in which we live. And that is not the job of a few individuals, ladies and gentlemen. That is the job of everyone living right now who wants to see a better future, not only for themselves, but for future generations of people that are going to come after us. And, you know, I just think that that's one of the big missing components of the truth and freedom movements. Personally, from my perspective, in my analysis, I really recognize that as something that is truly lacking. It's missing practically. And that's why, you know, I feel so strongly about that, that I really kind of cut my workload in half these days. And part of it is the broadcasting of information, and then part of it is teaching people to overcome their fear or ignorance of technology, and teaching them how to utilize technology in order to help in that work, in that you know, avenue of warfare, of informational warfare, to put the word out into the minds of the human population. We all have to get better at doing that. And so many people, especially the slightly older people in the truth and freedom community, maybe people who are maybe like the older side of Gen X and further back, have a lot of fear and trepidation of modern forms of technology. You even have a thread of a mindset within the freedom movement that all technology is somehow bad. You have this Luddite approach to technology that, you know, people want to go back to like primitivism or something. And it's all fear-based. You know, technology is a neutral tool. And a lot of people don't even understand that technology is not what they even think that it is. You know, they think it's just computers, just, you know, big systems of information, AI, et cetera. That's not technology. Technology is anything that is not part of the human body that you use to accomplish a task that would be more difficult to accomplish without that tool. Let me say that again. Technology is anything outside of the human body that a human being uses to accomplish a task that would be more difficult to accomplish without that tool. That is the actual definition of what technology is. So, a piece of paper is technology. A pen is technology. A cup is technology. A dish is technology. You can look all around the entire space that we are living in. Your house is a piece of technology. You know, your window shades are a piece of technology. The microphone I'm talking to you through is technology. Everything around us that is not the body that we use to do things like make something easier to do, hold food, hold water, refrigerate something, carry our waste away, you know, all of that is a form of technology. Now, is that all evil? Is technology evil? Right? Some people insist all technology is problematic and evil. And it's like, how could that possibly be evil? That has helped human civilization, that has helped reduce disease, that has helped us perform work that would ordinarily be more difficult. it's a neutral tool, and then how it is used by the consciousness of the being that is using the tool. And more advanced information technology is simply the same thing. It's a neutral tool that is used in a certain way by the consciousness of the being that is using it. And it's no different than any other piece of technology. A pair of scissors could be used to, create a piece of clothing to clothe, someone who is unfortunate or homeless, et cetera, to keep them warm. You know, we could use it in tailoring. You could also indiscriminately, for no reason, stab somebody with scissors and harm them or kill them, harm them, maim them or kill them. There's two different actions. It's the same tool. The determining factor of whether it was used for good or evil is the consciousness of the wielder of the tool. And it's the same thing with more advanced technology. I ask people, if you buy a computer with nothing on it, just a blank computer, there's not even an operating system on it. It's just a storage drive. You have all the basic components, and it's just even blank, and you're going to be able to install whatever software you want to run on it. And you hand this computer to somebody, and you say, could you please tell me the nature of this computer. Is it good or is it evil? They would look at you like you're crazy, because you would be. If you consider a blank, empty computer something that is good or something that is evil, I don't think you understand the nature of the tool. The nature of the tool is it allows you to put software on it and do computing operations with information, and then do whatever you're going to do with that information. You might make a whole bunch of lies up and try to spread them and hurt people. Or you might tell people the truth about what's going on and elevate their consciousness. Once again, it's a tool, and it's how we're going to use it. Are we going to engage in the informational warfare that we are in the spiritual battleground that we are in, through the modern weapon of war, which is the understanding of how to use communication and publishing technology in our modern digital age? Or are we going to sit on the sidelines and not engage in that battleground and watch it passively like we're watching a movie on a screen? You know, that's the choice that we really have to make. And all content creators that are speaking out, I just want everybody within the sound of our voice to really deeply comprehend this. All content creators that people have ever learned from in the modern digital age, if you've learned something on the internet, through a documentary, through any piece of technology, through a podcast, through a book, you have engaged with that content creator through the medium called technology. And that's why it's called media. It's in the middle between you and the creator of the content. And that's where the term media comes from. It literally is a Latin term meaning in the middle of. And so we are getting information through or via technology from other people in one form of media or another. And people have to stop fearing being a part of this process. They have to realize that's what we're here to do. You are here to engage with media. You are here to engage with technology, with communications technology, with publishing technology, and get the word out to people, out in the world, to help to change their subconscious mind, their conscious mind, and ultimately to influence their behavior for the better and their consciousness for the better.
I have probably racked up over 5 million views of my interviews over the years. And, I have to say that there's no way a satanic ritual abuse guy from Philadelphia would be able to teach people about consciousness and the programmable state and the 15% of the world's population that's generational dark occult. Yep. And I have SRA people I contact and talk with throughout the world, and it's because of the modern technology.
That's right.
And these people have emailed me and said that I was going to kill myself, and then I heard you speak about what you did to reintegrate your consciousness
right
from the abuse, And I learned EFT, and I started meditating, and I opened the Bible, and I started to walk towards making a commitment to natural law. And energy flows where attention goes. And
exactly.
The biggest thing about the mind control is they want to get you so upset by what they did to you that you don't look at the solutions.
That's right. That you shut down from the trauma.
Yeah.
Right.
And the thing is, it's a hard process, Mark, but it can be done. And I'm saying to all the secondary psychopaths that went through what I did in the programmable state, you know, you're a minion of the Rockefellers and the DuPonts. There's nothing in this for you. You know, they're throwing you under the bus with the constitutionalists and the patriots. You know, the 200,000 bloodline elite dark occult in the world want to kill everyone.
Yep.
They want to destroy the planet. They're doing it now. Something in the future.
That's right.
Look at the chemtrail damage. Look at Fukushima. Look at it, all of it. It's happening now.
They just want to use these rank and file minion wind up robots to kill other people before they feed them into the big death system. You know, they're not going to be spared, you know. And what is it, a victory to get fed into a death machine last? Is that some kind of big victory? I'll be the last one to go into the death machine. You know, I mean, imagine that's people's thought process. We actually watched the documentary tonight at Inquire and Inspire in Oaks, PA. They do it every third Thursday here. Run by Jeff Hipoff, one of the One Great Work Network content creators, and basically showed a documentary about what the damage to human life that Monsanto had done with Roundup and is still doing. You know, it's been bought by Bayer. They've changed their naming of things, and it's still sold in the agricultural community and still being put in our food, and just an absolutely horrific carcinogenic compound. The way that they are waging their war is it's multi-spectrum, it's full spectrum attack. It's an attack from every component, the spirit, the mind, the body, through food, through the air, through water, through chemical agents. It's unbelievable how many people are still ignorant of all of the methods of attack that we are under. And this documentary, it was called Into the Weeds. And it was just brilliantly done. Tracked the abuse that companies like that have done to people through these chemical agents that they put out there into the agricultural system. Another thing is, like, I just hear people talk about health and what they think is going on, and people still buying into the whole COVID psyop. It's unbelievable the fear that is out there and the ignorance of people that do still, as yet, this late in the game in the year 2024, still do not understand that the whole COVID nonsense was a psychological warfare operation wielded against the human population by the occultists. They can't grasp that was fear-based sorcery done through the media and the technology at their disposal to spread.
Oh, Mark, the government would never do that.
Imagine that we still aren't conscious of this as a people. I was in an environment today that I had to be in for personal reasons, and I had to bite my tongue. And I don't like to do that, but it's a very specific instance of a situation where I am really not able to, like, start an argument. You know what I mean? Normally, I would be all over somebody, and I had to just sit and say, oh, my God, the ignorance of the people making the statements that I heard them make. And I just want to, like, blurt out, like, are you kidding me? You actually think that? Like, do you listen to, you know, CNN all day long to still believe that, to still think that anybody was truly in any real danger as a population any differently than any other time of human history, than any other time of the modern day? If you had never heard one thing from the media, you would have went about your life no differently than you ever had in your entire existence, not knowing that anything was any different. The only thing that changed is what they told you on the nightly news and just injected a whole bunch of fear into the consciousness of humanity, and people just bought it hook, line, and sinker.
The Pentagon has published that they ran a PSYOP.
Of course.
And it was so successful. They were so happy with it.
This was
and
a testing
ground.
It was
to cover up the H7N9 bird flu that they've released that is 30 to 40% lethal, and that's why 25% of the chickens have been destroyed in the world. You've got H7N9, which was gain of function under Fauci,
right,
at University of Wisconsin, and it was Hoshi Kawaoka, who did the gain of function work, and then they sent it into China, and we're off to the races. And the Chinese know that we, you know, tried to attack them with a biological super weapon. So, you know, and all I'm saying is that the whole world is turning against the United States and unifying against these pedophile, you know, rainbow flag nut jobs.
It's by design that this country is being degenerated into the state that it is in, because it quite possibly was the last bastion of the ability to truly fight back against the globalist Satanists through the technology that we have at our disposal and resist. And they want to utterly destroy this place as a message to everywhere else of what will happen if you even think about resisting them. And that's why I think we can't let this opportunity go. This is a tremendous opportunity to be able to get the word out. This is a tremendous opportunity for learning and future growth if we decide to stop being ignorant, if we decide to stop looking at this as something that is for a limited amount of the population instead of for everyone. Knowledge of the human psyche, knowledge of the laws of the universe, knowledge of morality, knowledge of even how to do the communication and publishing of that information is not for some. It is for everyone. It is here for all to partake of and for all to distribute out in a wide way to the body of humanity. And as you said, if people aren't engaged in that process, they are not doing what they were put upon this planet to do. It is not some people's charge. It is the charge of all people that say they want to see a truly free future for humanity. And that's why people have to start acknowledging you're either truly for that side, you're truly for that outcome, or you're just giving it lip service. If you don't want to put skin in the game, if you don't want to spend your time, if you don't want to spend your attention, if you don't want to really focus, if you don't want to really learn, then it's all just lip service. It's not, your heart's not in it, your mind's not in it, your soul's not in it. You know, you got to put everything into this. It doesn't mean that you can't ever enjoy yourself. It doesn't mean that you can't ever go out and enjoy a game or a beer or whatever. It doesn't mean you have to focus on this 24/7 nonstop and never give your body a break. That's not what I'm saying. A lot of people hear what I'm saying when I say you got to be fully committed to it and think, oh, I can't have anything else in my life. No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that you have to put an effort into changing the mind of human beings for the better. I hear people saying constantly, it's one of the things that I loathe the most when I hear it. It makes me cringe. It's the most cringe-worthy thing that I hear. When I hear people saying, I give up, people ain't gonna listen to anything. And guess what? Maybe they won't, right? I'm even going to agree up to that point, right? But they say, I'm not even going to bother to try, right? You don't know what the future is going to hold. You don't know whose mind you might change. You don't know how many people you might reach. You know, we don't know how powerful we really are until we try. See, and then people say, I've given up on people. I'm not even going to try. I'm just going to just plan for the end. I'm going to plan for the collapse. I'm going to put all my eggs in the basket of, you know, storing food and water and getting guns and ammunition. And I'm not saying don't do those things either, right? I do those things. You'd be a fool not to do those things, right? Continue to do those things. But if that's all you're doing, you are doing something that I call playing to lose. This is like saying, I'm on a baseball team and I'm betting against my team before the game is even played, right? Pete Rose is held out of the Baseball Hall of Fame, but at least that man bet on his own team, right? He didn't bet against his team. He bet on his team, right? If you're going to bet on your team and you're not going to bet against your team and you're not going to play to lose, as I call it, you can't give up before you try. You can't give up before you actually go to war and wage the war. You know, this idea that Revolution Radio does when they play that interview or that old, intro that is, this is the people's war. Fight it. Actually wage it. Right? Try. Don't just say that you want the outcome of the war to be go your way or the way you say you want it to go. Actually fight it. Right? Keep fighting. Don't give up. Try. Most people, they don't even try. They live their lives on the sideline thinking that they're supposed to be on the sideline. You're not supposed to be on the sideline. You are supposed to be throwing the ball. You are supposed to be the pitcher. You are supposed to be the batter. You are supposed to be carrying the ball down the field. Okay? You're supposed to be the quarterback. All of those things. You are supposed to be an engaged member of the human population fighting the war for freedom. And this is what I see people constantly saying. Oh, what power do I have to change people's minds? I'm just going to sit and prepare for the end. And ladies and gentlemen, there is no better example of playing to lose than that mentality. I am not playing to lose. While I am doing those things, I have storable food, water, guns, ammunition, all of those things, right? But that doesn't mean I'm playing to lose, because I'm actively engaged in the warfare through the modern weapons of informational warfare, that being communication and publishing technology. And I am attempting to reach the minds of the human population with the information that they truly need. That's trying. That's waging the war. That's playing to win. Do I think the outcome might turn out bad? Sure. You know, that's why I have contingencies. You know, I am not going to say you shouldn't plan for certain contingencies, because you should. That's smart. That's being engaged in a slightly different way. But most people only do that. They're sitting back waiting for the collapse. That's a self-fulfilling negative prophecy. The collapse might not come if we try hard enough to wage the spiritual war that is before us, and in and actually engage on the battlefield, we might be able to avert catastrophe. We might be able to avert the collapse. Don't play to lose, people. Play to win is what I'm saying. Play to win and be actively engaged. And then maybe we can turn this situation around. Maybe.
Well, I'm just, you know, I had a long conversation with a minister out in California who's a friend of mine, and she's, you know, a wonderful person, and she's starting a church online with a bunch of former warlocks and witches. And, you know, a lot of people don't believe in the dark occult, but, you know, do some research and you'll find out that it's all over the place. And they're not sacrificing cats and dogs in the woods. Right. They're in your boardrooms and in your government.
They're teaching your children. They're principals of your schools. They're judges and lawyers and politicians and bankers. They're in every institution. They're in entertainment. They're in, you know, you name it. You name the institutional walk of life, and Satanists are in it and running them. And, you know, let's not forget the biggest institution that they're truly in and that they're running, and that's an ongoing psyop to manipulate the population to not only stand down, to not take action, but to believe in externalized power that's going to save us instead of us doing what is required to actually create human freedom, and that is the institution called religion. You know, the other reason that a lot of people don't like to hear my work, and I just want to say, I think that religionists, atheists, and New Agers are all delusional. I just want to say that. I think if you're an atheist, you're delusional. If you're a religionist, you're delusional. And if you're a member of the New Age community, you're delusional. So I don't discriminate against the people that
I'm
insulting.
Well, I don't know, Mark. You know, as soon as the Andromedans get their warp drive fixed, I think, you know, you'll see different.
Look, I'm holding out hope for the Blue Avians. That's who I'm betting on. You know, the Blue Avians got this, okay?
I think,
and no action is required on our part.
Going to come through for us.
It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable what people think, man. It really is.
What it comes down to is many of the things that Christ taught, people ignore. And the things that Christ and God want people not to ignore, that's all they talk about. Yeah, you know, the propitiatory sacrifice of Christ removes sin as a barrier to the Spirit of God. Mm-hmm. Now, why are they still talking about sin? I mean, why don't you talk about how to live like Christ? Why don't you do the works that Christ did? And the thing is, Christ said, you know, a man giving gifts. And one guy gets a gift and he buries it and does nothing with it, but he doesn't lose it. The other one gambles it away. Mm-hmm. And then the third one takes the money and actually makes more happen with it.
He invests it
and makes it happen. Right. And it increases. And I'm saying to all the Christians out there, which one are you?
And what is your real source of value?
Growing what God gave you? Are you sharing it?
Right.
Or are you burying what God gave you because you're a coward?
And we're not talking about financial wealth. We're talking about wealth in the form of knowledge. We're talking about wealth in the form of true understanding of morality. You know, this idea even of sin, you know, people have to get out of religious notions of morality. Like the real, like the seven deadly sins as taught by the church are there to confuse people regarding what real morality is, because they're all thought forms that are not actions that are taken against another and actually perform a transgression against another person's natural rights. that are given by the Creator, that are endowed by the Creator of the universe. We have to understand that, you know, the traditional seven deadly sins were pride, gluttony, sloth, lust, anger, jealousy, and greed, sometimes called different wordings of those seven, but there they are. Pride, gluttony, sloth, lust, anger, jealousy, and greed. All internal vices. Not a one of them is something that is done from one person to another person. So pride, I can't pride you, can I? Right? I can have pride, but I can't pride someone else, right? Pride, there's no such thing as priding someone, right? Okay, so you can murder someone. That's doing something to someone else that is directly harmful and is stealing something that isn't yours, isn't your property, isn't you, you don't have the right to take the life from another person, okay, unrightfully, okay, without any just cause for doing it, like self-defense. That's why it would be called murder instead of killing in self-defense. So people don't understand that for a transgression to take place that qualifies as, quote, sin against another being, it has to be a positive action that you do to someone else that degrades from them, that steals from them, that diminishes what they have. All forms of transgression against others that is truly against natural law, the laws of the Creator of the universe, the laws of morality, are degradations of property in some form or another. You are stealing. You are taking from someone else. You're not taking from someone else by having pride in your mind. Okay? First of all, there's many different forms of pride. You could be proud of something that you did that is truly good, and there's nothing wrong with that. That's not a wrong to be proud of. So I'm proud of the work that I've done regarding morality to put that out into the world. I think I've done a damn fine job, and I'm proud of that. I'm proud of myself for doing it. I'm proud of the work that I have put out, and I should have a sense of pride in that work because it's damn good work. Okay? That's a good form of the feeling called pride, of the mindset called pride. And anybody that disagrees with that, you can feel free to go ahead and disagree with that, but you're still wrong. That's a perfectly acceptable and perfectly normal feeling that a human being could have. Counterproductive pride is like thinking, oh, I'm actually a really fine and perfect family member, when what you're doing is you're taking blood money from murderers within government or completely immoral corporations that are killing people and destroying the environment. And you're saying, on the other hand, I'm proud of what a good person I am because I've made a whole lot of money. First of all, that's counterproductive pride. Second of all, you're actually doing harmful things, and you should not feel any sense of pride about that. So there's many forms of pride, some of which are self-aggrandizing when there's no reason to be, and some are legitimate.
Well, we're going to take a break for a couple minutes, and we'll be right back with our guest, Mark Passio.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, and we'll be right back after this message.
Hello, my name is Mr. Rowe. I am the host of Reality Extraction. On Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, I utilize logic, intellect, and magic to methodically autonomize, vivisect, analyze, examine, study, scrutinize, and extract an essence of reality from a fog of illusion and confusion. You can find me on Studio B every Thursday, 1700 hours Pacific Time. That's 8 p.m. Eastern. No topic taboo, no subject too strange. I strive to take a neutral standpoint during the dissection of the topic at hand. That's Reality Extraction with Mr. Rowe on Revolution Radio.
Join me at Revolution Radio, Studio B, at 11 a.m. on Saturday, for free association. When we take a look at philosophy, spirituality, psychology, social issues, and geopolitics. It's every Saturday at 11 a.m. Eastern on Studio B at freedomslips.com.
Time, 2 hours of an organization to the madness, discussing the ever-changing dynamics of being both physically and mentally prepared for a plethora of possible outcomes to our future and present. A look into the latest technologies, new scientific discoveries, and how they might be used in connection to the human domain and controlling it, ancient cultures and places. Be warned. This is an opinionated look through headlines. Guests that are not afraid to question the narrative. A little bit of crazy ramblings of a stoner conspiracy factist that pushes constitutional concepts. The place and the time are the same, another dimension we call Mountain High Time. Saturdays, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 6 p.m. Mountain High Time. Right here on Revolution.radio, where information never sleeps and truth breaks the spell.
The original machine had a base plate of pre-famulated amulite surmounted by a malleable logarithmic casing in such a way that the two spurving bearings ran a direct line with a panometric fan. The lineup consisted simply of 6 hydrocoptic marsal vanes, so fitted to the ambifacient lunar wane shaft that side fumbling was effectively prevented. The main winding was of the normal lotus-o-deltoid type placed in panendermic semi-boloid slots of the stator, every 7th conductor being connected by a non-reversible tremie pipe to the differential girdle spring on the up end of the gram meters.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio, taking the confusion out of transmutated lunar girdle springs for 4 years and running. Revolution Radio, the number one listener-supported alternative media radio on the planet.
I want to thank everybody for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the one place where information never sleeps. Revolution, Revolution Radio!
All right, let's show them what we got now.
Thanks for listening while we take that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
And we're back. This is Jay Parker, your host for The Southern Path on Revolution.radio and broadcasting on Twitter, X. I just have a thing I want to say, Mark.
Sure.
Having gone through the experiences of my life, I consider it an honor beyond belief that I can stand as a satanic ritual abuse victim and overcomer and speak truth to power. And I will not stand by and let these Satanists, dark occult, destroy the planet and murder my fellow human beings and be silent about the evil. And I will not shut up. I will fight them with my last breath. I am a Virginia rifleman. And God made me that way. The spirit of God in me, the spirit of knowledge in me, compels me to tell the truth.
Yep.
And I just want to say, because there's people in the chat room saying, oh, I tried and I've given up. Hey, let me tell you this. I'll tell you a little story. I'm going to tell you two stories that are going to blow your mind. Years ago, 18 years ago, during the Ron Paul movement, me and another Ron Paul guy were passing out DVDs to people like Freedom of Fascism by Aaron Russo and Money Masters by Bill Sill. And we were waking people up and red pilling people with these DVDs, very similar to what Hancock was doing in Arizona, passing out DVDs to all the snowbirds in the RV complexes in Arizona. And all I have to say is, so I had a portfolio of like 30 DVDs in this little satchel, zippered container. And I gave it to a neighbor of mine. And I said, this is the truth, you know, blah, blah, blah. I came from an Illuminati family, a generational Satanist family. He took those DVDs, he burned them, he copied them to his computer. And then he went to his other house outside of Philadelphia, and he has a neighbor who's a doctor, and for some reason, he gave the doctors my DVDs. It's like, I guess they were friends. He said, why don't you take a look at some of this stuff? Because I don't know what to think. Who knows what the conversation was? But the doctor went from being totally mind controlled and having a worldview straight from CNN and NBC
right,
to having a worldview straight from Ron Paul.
Imagine how many people.
And what
he
I'm saying
affected.
Is, I don't know how many people right. that man affected in the last 18 years.
Sure.
Since I woke him up. And it wasn't even my decision. Right. I gave out the word of truth to a person, and they really didn't accept it. But you know what happened synchronistically? He gave it to a person that did accept it.
It was passed along.
Right. And the thing is, it's like a pinball machine. You don't know what the effects will be when you speak truth into the universe. But the thing is that the fact that you're ripping yourself off by not being engaged.
That's
when
right.
you're engaged, the spirit of God and the spirit of the universe will strengthen you, will teach you, and will guide and lead you to success. But the thing is, you actually have to get on the center path. You actually have to run the race.
Yep.
And these people that are telling me that, you know, I tried and I gave up because people blah blah blah, I'm saying you have no idea. You're not God. You don't know where your information is going to wind
right.
up. When
right.
you do an interview with somebody, when you do a radio show on Revolution Radio, you have no idea that 5 years from now, somebody will reach in the archives and listen to your talk, and that will change their worldview.
That's right.
And let me tell you that when you I'm going to do a hypothetical here. Mm-hmm. You tell a person that the mRNA, the MMR shot, causes autism. And the person you're talking to says, vaccines do not cause autism. Go away, crazy person. 5 years later, that man's sister has a baby. And that baby at 18 months takes the MMR shot and goes autistic. And that man stands there and looks at his crying sister saying, I don't get it. I took him to the pediatrician 2 days ago. He was fine.
Yep.
Now look at him. He can't even talk. He can't move. He's not there anymore. And he's going to go, I remember that conspiracy person told me that the MMR causes autism. And then all of a sudden, he's going to start doing the research. Because
right.
he's going to realize that you spoke truth to him.
Yep.
And the thing is, you have no idea the power when you speak truth into the morphogenic field. That alone is a revolutionary act because you are in a place of total satanic mind control. And when you stand up and declare the grace of God and morality to this dark earth,
yep,
you are saying that, you know, what God did in creating consciousness of humanity was a good thing, and that's it, you know?
How did the Creator make the universe? By speaking it into existence with the phrase, let there be light, fiat lux, you know, in Latin, fiat lux, let there be light. You know, that's the first utterance of creation, biblically, even in biblical allegory, however you want to look at it. The universe is spoken into existence. We engage in a similar activity to the very creation by speaking truth into our environment. That is how things are changed. That is how we generate our experience. We have to keep speaking. When you're silent, you're compliant. You're complicit when you're silent. It's
not
silent
me.
Complicity.
I won't go there.
Never.
Because
never.
It is like spitting in the face of Creator.
It is.
The grace of God is greater than me. And I refuse to call God a liar because God is a spirit and he is not a liar.
It's truth itself. It's the laws of creation itself.
Absolutely.
And when we speak that truth into the universe, we are doing what our charge is to do in this physical incarnation as a spiritual being on this planet at this time. You know, there's nothing more powerful than that. And creation
there's no
rewards.
Higher honor than to come into this place and speak truth.
Yep.
It is an unbelievable honor. So what if they get your body? So what if they torture you? So what if they do this and that? I've been through the worst of it. And let me tell you something. I'm not afraid because I'm a spiritual man. And I know that my soul is sealed by Christ Jesus, and I'm not backing down to these child-abusing pedophiles.
Courage is the very thing that the universe respects and rewards the most. The more courageous we are, the more the universe is going to have our back. The more, cowardly we are, and we don't speak up, and we, you know, become completely dejected and, you know, don't want to speak truth to the satanic powers that be in our world at this time, the more the universe is going to pull away from us and say, well, have more of that. Have more of what you're saying you don't want because you're silent and you won't speak out against it. You know, we can't let ourselves become dejected and cowardly. As much as I will say, I'm somewhat bitter about the state of the world and the ignorance that still abounds for having done the amount of work that I've done tirelessly over the last 17 years of my life. Don't think for an instant that that means I'm going to stop, give up, become cowardly, be silent. That'll never happen. You know, I'll do this until I can't speak or can't draw breath, you know. So that's the attitude that we have to have, even if we
Mark,
lose
it is
in
an
the long
honor
term.
For the universe to have chosen us to be here and tell these satanic pieces of filth to pound sin.
Right.
It is the greatest honor any consciousness. Believe me, there are consciousnesses supposedly are trying to get in here and incarnate onto the earth. And you know, David Icke talks about this. Mm-hmm. And some other people that are channelers and stuff say, oh, everybody's trying to get on the earth right now. And you
probably
think, what are they, nuts?
Why the population's growing so at such a fast rate. The
right.
problem is their sole mission gets hijacked,
mm-hmm.
often very early on, by toxins and injections and, you know, all of the mind control techniques, the school system, the media, all of it. It's such a multifaceted barrage the full spectrum dominance attack of the Satanists is that it gets people early on in their childhood and takes them off their spiritual path, their spiritual mission. Mm. But, you know, as you said, that the being able to do this and having the knowledge to do what we do is absolutely something that I feel a sense of gratitude for. It, as much as it is trying and, you know, gets on my nerves sometimes, I definitely would not undo my path. I would not trade it and, you know, do anything differently, because that's the thing that I wake up feeling thankful for. If I have any sense of gratitude and thankfulness in my life, it is that I have the knowledge that I have and I speak it out into the universe. That's what I feel thankful for on a daily basis, personally.
I mean, when you wake somebody up and you change their worldview from death to life, and they fully become, you see, you're trying to wake people up from Stockholm Syndrome. You're trying to wake them up to be fully human. Because right now, yes, they're nothing but NPCs.
Right.
They're just NPCs. They're just drones.
Not engaged. Mm. Not active. Yep. It's like a flesh robot that's shut down. It's shut off. It's like a computer that's shut off. It's in shutdown mode. It's not even active and processing and doing and trying and computing. You know, this is why I think the idea of getting your mind clear about human nature and the programmability of human beings is one of the most powerful and important pieces of knowledge that somebody can ever learn, that we are not good or evil. What we do and what we become is going to determine the quality of our existence based upon the information we've taken in, because that's going to significantly color and influence the behavior that we put out into the world. And there is no good or evil when it comes to that. There is only programmability. There is only the ability to put information into a person and into their makeup and into their personality so that they then behave in a way that is going to be consistent with the way that that information made them think. And when we put quality information in, we're going to get quality behavior out. When we put poor and erroneous information in, we're going to get poor and erroneous behavior out. It's a very simple equation. People confuse it, they mystify it, they complexify it unnecessarily. And the creator of the universe is not trying to confound us at every turn. You know, that's what evil does. Evil wants to confuse and confound us at every turn. The equations of truth, the equations of our true nature, are very simplistic. They're easy to understand.
Mm-hmm.
Human beings and the essence of evil is what wants to compound and mystify all of that stuff.
Oh,
the truth is
never
actually
know,
quite
Mark.
Simple.
You can never know. My father's favorite saying, you can never know.
We're here to be in a terrified state of existential doubt from the time we're born till the time we die, Jay. Don't you know that? You know, knowledge, forget that stuff. You can't ever know anything. Knowledge is meaningless. I mean, imagine that there are people who think that way. The creator didn't create this place to torture us with unknowability of everything. It's like what the creator did is say, here's a little bit of a puzzle for you to challenge you a bit while you're in a state of the flesh, in a state of incarnation of your being. And, you know, you're going to have to work hard. You're going to have to strive to learn and understand. But I'm not torturing you in an endless prison of unknowability. Like, just think about what kind of a creator would do that. What kind of a God would people believe in that would say, yeah, you're never going to be able to know. You know, you just have to have faith, and you can never actually have knowledge. You know, the creator doesn't want us.
Which is very funny, because Christ says that God desires knowers, not believers, but knowers.
Of course. The only prescription for freedom that the Christ figure biblically in the biblical scriptures gave to his disciples for being free was to know the truth. That's it. To know truth from fantasy, to know nature versus artificiality, to know that which is real from all falsehood. The concept of Satan is the force that goes against Christ consciousness and evolutionary growth in consciousness. That's what Satan is. Satan is the force that wants doubt. Satan is the force that wants people to be ignorant. Satan is the force that wants people constantly in a state of existential doubt and disbelief and not knowing and constantly, you know, in a state of confusion. That's why biblically the satanic figure has been called the father of lies. It's the father of all falsehoods. It's the thing that misleads everybody from the understanding of truth and reality and true nature and true morality. You know, I mean, that's a good segue to, you know, basically, you know, wrap up what I was talking about in the first segment about, you know, what are the laws or the transgressions against the laws of the Creator? We'll know the laws of the Creator by knowing the simple transgressions that you can do against a sentient being that initiates harm and diminishes from that being, steals something from that being. Okay? And they are, the true seven deadly sins are not the ones of religion that are pride, gluttony, sloth, lust, anger, jealousy, greed. Those are mindsets that admittedly are not good mindsets to dwell in and remain in. You know, they are something we should basically seek to better ourselves and transcend. But in and of themselves, they are not behaviors. They are internal states of thought and a form of consciousness that we, yes, should not, again, just constantly stay in. We should strive to better ourselves and not remain in those states of consciousness, but they're not actions. For a transgression against the laws of the Creator to ultimately take place in physical reality, action must be done. So think about what are the ways that we can initiate harm against our fellow brothers and sisters on this planet. Murder, assault, rape, theft, trespass, coercion, and deception. And this is what the people who are engaged in all of the evil of our world are constantly bathing in so far as their actions are concerned. They are either doing these things to other people or they are condoning the doing of these things. And let me tell you who condones a lot of these behaviors more than anybody else: people who dare to call themselves Christians. They're actively condoning the government doing coercion, doing deception, doing murder and all kinds of evil, actively condoning military doing these things, actively condoning the police doing these things. The things that people champion and condone are the those institutions and the people in them are actively continually engaging in the true transgressions against natural law, the transgressions against true morality, the true seven deadly sins: murder, assault, rape, theft, trespass, coercion, and deception. These are the things that diminish another sentient being. These are the things that rob and steal from someone else. Something is taken and a being is diminished in the process. That is why they are transgressions and wrongdoings. We have to get clear on that. This is the problem with religiosity and dogma and dogmatic thought when it comes to religious traditions, which is why I tell people these are things holding people back from the truth. Part of the whole satanic system is to infiltrate religions, put false teachings inside of all the religions, get people to latch on to false dogmatic teachings, and to lose the thread of the truth and true morality and true goodness in that process. And the truth is not going to be found inside any particular religion. You could say the seed of truth exists in them all, right? But it's been covered up and completely overgrown by dogmatic belief systems. And that is what the satanic system deliberately embedded into the religious traditions. Consciousness, real discovery of morality, is going to transcend and go beyond all of the religious traditions and is not going to be found in any particular one. You have to study them comparatively. I'm not saying don't look into any religious thought. Study them in a comparative way to understand what they teach and how they went astray in their own individual particular ways. But try to pick up the thread of true morality. That's where you're going to find natural law. That's where you're going to find the real seven deadly sins and understand why you shouldn't engage in any of them, and even more importantly, why you shouldn't condone anybody else doing them. You shouldn't champion the doing of any of those things through the institutional bodies of our world, namely government and religion and money systems, etc. These are the things the Christ figure of the New Testament was constantly fighting against, and ultimately led to his murder, was religion in the form of the Pharisees and Sadducees, money in the form of the temple money changers, who he spoke out against and ultimately, you know, whipped with a switch and got really extremely heated at, threw their tables and their money over and, you know, took out a reed and whipped some of them. And, of course, the ultimate expression of evil in our world, government, you know, which is the actual physical arm of the control system. It's the strong arm of the entire control system that actually does the murder, the assault, the trespass, the coercion. You know, government and media do the deception, you know, and so does religion in many cases. And then, you know, they send in their henchmen to do all of their dirty work to get their actual hands bloody so that the real priest class of the dark occult world doesn't actually bloody their physical hands. They get their order followers and their henchmen and their wind-up robot, toy soldiers, you know, their rank-and-file minions of Satanism, which are the police and military, ultimately, to do that dirty work for them. And in so, they take the brunt of the karmic debt from the dark, the true dark sorcerers of the world, and it gets placed directly on their wind-up toy soldiers. And imagine someone calling themselves a Christian that believes in the military and the police. You believe in the henchmen of the Satanists. It's unbelievable. It's unfathomable to me that anyone who dares to use the word Christ in a sentence would say, I'm a supporter of the military and the police. You have to be kidding. You're no Christian. You're no follower of Christ or his words or his message or his heart. You follow Satanism and satanic belief systems because that's what government, that's what policing, that's what military conquest is all about. That's the satanic world, its belief system, its religion, you know? And I just want to put that out there for anybody who dares to call themselves a Christian and still believes in these nonsensical institutions of absolute Satanism, because that's all government, they're money, and religion
and
are.
Serve.
Yeah, of course. You know. Oh, they're here to protect and serve, all right. It's just who are they protecting and serving? They're protecting and serving the highest level Satanist of our world. Mm-hmm. That's who they're protecting and serving. They're protecting the pedophile priest class. Make no mistake about it. The satanic pedophile priest class. That's who the police and military protect and serve. Let's get that straight.
When
folks.
They killed my best friend in first grade, I went to a Christian down the street, and he went to the police after I told him where I thought the body was buried and everything that happened. And the police said to him, oh, we know what's going on in Arden, Delaware, but we can't do anything about it.
Yep.
And
no surprise
and
at all to me.
That was 1963.
So imagine how bad it's gotten. Imagine. Yeah.
It's just, you know, when you use your mind the way God says, I constitute you reasonable beings, which means you have to think.
That's right. You have the power of reason, and
when you see that our military is used by the international Illuminati corporations to rob and steal around the world the resources of third world countries and to enslave and sweatshop the inhabitants of those countries, I'm sorry. It's not something you can defend.
Could you imagine how much just look at the opioid pandemic. That's the real pandemic, you know? And the military's just absolutely guarding those opium fields, those poppy fields in Afghanistan, abroad, and in other places in the world. And they're just trafficking all of that raw material. Most of it gets processed on the East Coast of the United States in different cities. New York is a big processing center, of course. And that just gets distributed out to the rest of the nation for people to get hooked on, you know, and the military is a gigantic part of that up. And
the reason why we went into Afghanistan was the Taliban banned poppy production in 99.
Yep.
And we had to nearly get nothing. That back up because there was a banking collapse in Asia because they didn't have their heroin money.
Jay, we got that opium trade up 3,000% since 9/11. Don't you know? I mean, 3,000% production and distribution.
We were actually supplying them with fertilizer.
Yep. Yep.
Our military was giving fertilizer to poppy producers.
Well, Jay, they're doing it over there, so they don't have to do it over here. So we don't have to do it over here, you know? I mean, I can't even imagine there's pride in our military and police by people. I mean, it's unbelievable. Unbelievable where people's mind is.
If it was the people's military and people's police, it could be a good thing. But unfortunately, they have a satanic mindset of the ultimate cult of evil, blind order following.
Obedience is not a virtue, ladies and gentlemen. Truth is a virtue. Truly being able to think and work out knowledge, that's a virtue. Choosing right behavior over wrong behavior, that's a virtue. Actively communicating the truth out into the world in a wide and free way, that's a virtue. Obedience is not on the list, ladies and gentlemen. If you think that's a virtue, you're satanically confused. And that's the problem, is that a lot of people believe in Satanism and don't understand that it's Satanism. This is what is known as de facto Satanism. The term de facto comes from the Latin de, the word, the prefix de in Latin means of, by, or related to. And then the word facto means deed, action, physical behavior in the world. So de facto means in your deeds, of your deeds, by your deeds, by your behavior, by your action. That's what de facto Satanism means. In your actions, in your behavior, in what you do, in what you espouse, in what you condone, you're a Satanist. You know, this idea that you just might be a Satanist if ... And this is the problem. People don't even understand what constitutes being a Satanist. They don't understand what satanic thought is. They don't understand what satanic behavior is. They have this notion that Satanism is the worship of a large horned devil god with hooves and a pitchfork and big bull-like horns and a sharp tail. And it's like, this is a child's interpretation of evil. You know, Satanists do not worship a being like that. They don't even think about anything like that. Satanism is about the service to the self, not caring about other people, not caring about what happens in the world in the long term, only really truly focusing on yourself and your own comfort and your own well-being, not caring about the truth, only wanting your own creature comforts, not wanting to struggle for goodness, not wanting to gain true knowledge. It's about wanting to take shortcuts to get what you want and not actually work hard to get things that are true virtues and things that can truly benefit humanity as a whole. It's all about selfishness. It's all about stepping on people to get what you want. And it's all about ultimately giving up on truth and not really trying to do what's required to end the current condition of human slavery. And then it's about Satanism is about supporting the institutional worldly institutional bodies that are currently in control of this planet. They're satanic institutions that the media and the churches and the governments have and the media have all conditioned people to want to serve and to want to condone their evil, twisted, psychopathic behaviors. Condoning those behaviors is just – it's paramount to doing them. So therefore, if you condone those types of behaviors in your deeds – in an extraction, in a sort of projection, you're a Satanist. That's what being a de facto Satanist means. In your very deeds, you're satanic, and in what you condone that other people should continue to do, you're satanic. And let me tell you something. That means that the overwhelming vast majority of the human population, by definition, are in fact de facto Satanists. They may not be the priest class of Satanism, but make no mistake about it, in their deeds, in their mind, in their heart, they are Satanists.
You see, that's why I love what God has done in my life, is he's made me a warrior for the truth. And it didn't happen overnight. It took years for me to get to the place that I am today, but the fact that I actively said, once I got a little piece of my consciousness back from the mind control, I said, I'm going to find out all I can about this and make sure it never happens to another person. Dude, that was so my intention. Yes. That was my life goal.
That's so similar to my mindset when I originally left the Church of Satan and the whole satanic ideology in general. I attempted to completely leave that behind. That was my intent. I went crazy with the desire for knowledge about what I had just truly been involved in, what I was doing, and what I was condoning. I mean, it was beyond obsession, is all I can say. That is how much I just devoured everything that I could gather and garner on the topic, and for years of my life, to the point where I'm telling you, I tell this anecdote. My family members were concerned for my mental health, because all I did was sit in my bedroom and read incessantly, nonstop devourment of knowledge and everything that I could get my hands on regarding Satanism, regarding the world of the occult, regarding what I had actually just involved myself in, the whole social engineering and mind control aspects of it. I devoured every piece of information that I could possibly get my hands on for years. And just went into an obsessed mode when it came to learning all of that. So then I could communicate it to other people. It was a very similar path.
Yeah. You know, people don't understand, Mark, that being a Virginia rifleman and that story at the Battle of, you know, Breeze Hill in Brooklyn where those 800 Virginia riflemen said to Washington, cross the Hudson now and escape so the revolution can continue, and we'll 800 will hold off British, and we will die standing here for truth.
That's right.
And they knew that they were going to get bayoneted and their bodies were going to be abused.
And cannonballed.
They stood there and they took it, because to lay down your life for your friends is the highest honor in the universe.
Amen. It's reminiscent of the battle at Fort Mifflin, just outside of Philadelphia. You know, they held that fort until the last man, and they did perish to the last man, but it allowed a strategic retreat again, and then the battle was able to continue at Valley Forge and other places. But if they did not hold that fort, you know, the whole Revolutionary War could have gone in a very different direction. I've had the opportunity to actually visit Fort Mifflin, and it's a pretty amazing place. If anybody's in the Philadelphia area, it's definitely a great historic site to visit.
You know,
they stood there and were cannonballed and, as you said, bayoneted and shot with muskets down to the last person. We can't even envision that kind of bravery today. It's like it's an alien concept to the people of today. Yeah.
You see, it's like if you get on the center path and you start to work for the knowledge, the universe and God will teach you, and you will get stronger as you, you know, send the truth out into the world in your little circle. And the thing is, this is a concept that, you know, a lot of pastors I've met, a lot of good people I know, you don't grow not doing any good action. When you take action, when you actually get into the fight, you start to grow. Yep. Because when you release the truth into the morphogenic field, then you get more truth. Because once your glass is full, you need to empty it. You yep. need to share it. And then you'll get more knowledge. And
otherwise,
and
it's just building up pressure like water in a pipe, you know. And it's the same
the
as anything
else. The universe
doesn't
work that way. When you have received some knowledge, you need to pass that knowledge on so you can get new knowledge. You know, Kevin Trudeau says this really well in Your Wish Is Your Command.
Yes.
It's a great universal principle of the universe. It's that we've taught you how to cook. Now, if you don't cook anything, we're not going to teach you a new recipe.
Right.
Because you're not doing anything with what we've taught you already.
For the new to come in, the information has to flow outward. It's got to be a continuous flow, without a doubt. And it's like anything else that we want to become good at. You have to practice. You don't just say, you don't just walk into a gym and try to go and lift some heavy weight and say, oh, I couldn't pick it up. I couldn't do any reps with it, you know, and then give up. You know, that if you're not learning anything, you're not growing. Your muscles aren't going to get bigger. You're not going to get stronger. You gotta start with some lightweight, keep lifting it, do reps with it, build up to a heavier weight, and you gotta practice. You gotta keep going. You don't just stop. You don't just stop trying. You gotta continuously try. It's continuous effort. That's what the great work is. Continuous, steady effort. You know, nonstop. Just don't give up. Just keep moving forward.
We have been given eternal consciousness, and we're going to be with the good eternally. The least I can do is empty out this little life that we have in this holodeck. You know, it's like this is like not even a gnat life.
I mean, could you imagine the potential that even this species, humanity, has the things that we could go on to do. You know, it's one of the reasons that I continue, you know, not just because it's the right thing to do, because I want to see what's possible. Like, I genuinely want to see what we're capable of. And that's the thing that disappoints me the most, is that if we lose this battle and we don't fulfill that potential, it's such a squandered waste, and it could have been so magnificent. You know, it's like you can see the elements of human potential, but because we're letting the worst rule us, we're letting the satanic psychopaths rule over us, the universe is going to say, you're not going to achieve and unlock that potential. You got to solve this problem first. You got to solve this erroneous belief, this religion called the belief in authority. You have to solve that conundrum first. You got to purify.
There is no authority in the world or the universe except God's natural law.
That's it. That's the king of creation. That's the sovereign of all creation is natural law. It's the governing dynamics of the universe that the creator put into place to govern our free will choices of the behaviors that we choose to enact. It doesn't mean we don't have free will. It means we can't act and then have zero consequence for the behavior that we just put out into the universe. There's always consequence. That's how natural law operates. The creator was – it's the ultimate act of brilliance and love. It can't predetermine everything that we do, because then we have no free will and God would be the ultimate tyrant. You know, it would be the ultimate fascist, the ultimate totalitarian. You know, predetermining everything means nobody can choose what they want to do. The act of love, the tremendous act of love by the creator, is free will is given to the beings within the creation, especially the, of course, the intelligent beings, the ones with the potential for true intelligence, the potential to know the difference between right and wrong. We're gifted with free will. We can choose the direction that we want to propel ourselves in into the future. It's not something that is preordained or predetermined. We can determine that through our behavior and through the interconnection between our behavior and the laws of the universe regarding morality and consequence. That's the genius of creation. That's the beauty and wonder of creation. That means that this place is not a prison. This place is a choose-your-own-adventure, you know, that we can make anything that we want to make as long as we put our minds to that and then choose the right behaviors that will create that condition to manifest what we want. And as we always, unfortunately, Jay, talk about and, bemoan, is that look at what we're choosing. Look at what humanity is choosing instead of the incredible potential that it has before it. We're choosing to create a prison for ourselves and then live in it eternally. And that's just a huge squandering of the infinite potential that the Creator gifted us with.
You know, I can still see you as we're driving through West Philly, and I said to you, this is like 10 years ago at least, and I said to you, you know, we could have had anything, you know?
Yep.
And you said, well, we better get working on that prison.
Yeah. Yeah, because that's what we're building. I mean, imagine, you know, that's the highest vision. This situation is the highest vision to date that humanity as a species has for itself, because that's what has manifested. That's pretty sad. That's pretty disappointing. That's pretty sad. Nobody should be proud of that. You know, that's not something to have pride in if you're going to engage in that mindset / thought process or emotion, however you want to look at it. There's no pride to be found in that. If we do fulfill our potential, we get rid of this nonsense satanic religion called the belief in human authority. If we dismantle the institutions that are holding back our species, namely government, false religion, the monetary system of enslavement, who knows the direction that this species could head in the future? As I've always said, I think we could be a type one civilization, which is a self-sustaining civilization that can propel itself eventually to the stars within 100 years. I think that's how advanced I think humanity could become, what our best minds possibly could achieve, that we could go on to become an advanced civilization within a century.
It's just amazing right now, you know, I'm feeling like, you know, God promised that at the end of the age, he would pour his spirit out onto the human race. And I'm just telling you, you know, I'm not saying we're winning. I'm not right. saying, you know, QAnon's going to save us or Trump's going to save us. I'm saying that one person that's standing up for truth and standing in God's spirit and walking in that spirit is worth I don't know how many thousand NPCs that Satan has.
Without a doubt. Definitely. And, you know, that pouring out of that spirit upon the earth is that concept in the biblical and Christian religious tradition of the anointing. That is Christ consciousness. That's Christos, or again, as they refer to it, anointing or being Christed. The idea that Christ is just a being instead of a state of consciousness is, I think, the problem with religious dogmatic thought. It's like the very allegorical biblical figure said, these things you will do in greater. And sorry, let me just take a drink. My throat is a little.
You know, it's interesting to me, Mark. People in the church, in churchianity, right. are waiting for God to do this and God to do that.
Instead
and
of
that's
getting
not
to doing
what
it.
They were commanded to do.
Right.
They
right.
were told to do the opposite.
That's right. Don't
and,
wait
and
for
it's
orders.
Like you want Christ to come back? Look at the blood on your hands.
Yep.
Look at what's going on in Gaza right now. Are you kidding me? Are you
kidding me? It's
very
difficult to even look at. That's how torturous and terrible that is. It's just it's a human disaster, and you know some people are cheering this on. It's unbelievable that would again dare call themselves people of Christ. You know, it's like we have to stop externalizing power and waiting for orders from headquarters. We have to just get to doing the work ourselves. The adage that the creator helps those who help themselves is probably the most true thing that could ever be stated. You know, the will of creation is what we will ourselves to do. God's will for us is our will for us. You know, it's not about sitting back passively, watching, hoping, believing, praying, and externalizing power and waiting for something else to do it for us. We were given all the tools and all the gifts to do it for ourselves. And if we squander that opportunity, it's nobody's fault but ourselves. God will not have done that to us. We will have done that to ourselves.
And I'm sorry, but I'm not waiting for orders from headquarters. I have
right.
the word. I have the knowledge of the truth. And let me tell you, they can have my body, but they'll never have my cooperation.
Yep. Or your soul. And that's
yeah.
the thing of utmost importance, that we stand firmly within the truth and on the side of good, of true good.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's all any human being can do, and that's all that can be asked of them to do. So the more people that take up that, you know, that banner and stand firmly within that spirit, the better off all of humanity is going to be, and the more toward a positive outcome things will turn. The reason that we're in the mess that we're in is most people haven't answered that call, unfortunately. They're staying ignorant, they're staying silent, they're staying complacent, they're staying inactive. And that we have to conquer all of those things. Those are the real demons that we need to conquer. We need to conquer ignorance. You want to think of – stop thinking of this concept of Satan as a demon, you know, and his minions. You want to know what the real demons are? The real demons are ignorance, apathy. Laziness, cowardice, inaction, staying silent in the face of evil. These are demons. These are the real demons that inhabit our space in our world. That's the demons that have to be conquered. Those are the demons that we have to put in chains, and they need to be made to stop running roughshod all over the planet. You know, you want to look at demons, look inward regarding those negative, truly negative qualities. You know, you don't need to look into, you know, another dimension at, you know, actual, like some crazy demonic entities. Those demons dwell inside the human mind and heart, and they're the real ones that are having an incredible effect and power over this world, because they're allowed to just completely run wild. We reel in those demons, and then we're going to see real aid come to our assistance from creation. You know, we'll be doing the right things, engaging in the right behaviors, and then the universe has your back after that.
Amen. I mean, you know, I'm going to shout this stuff just like you until my last breath, because it's who I am. It's what God and the universe and the grace of God has made me, from a slave and a pedophile party favor into a son of truth.
There you go, and, man.
And I'm not backing down.
Think about it, man. If people who were involved in this can come to these kinds of realizations and step into that power, anybody can. It's, you just got to choose it. You got to choose it and do it and believe in your internal power to step into that truth and into that spirit. And, you know, people have to just believe that they can. You know, this adage in the law of attraction of whether you believe you can or whether you believe you can't, either way you are right, is absolutely true. That's really how it does work. You know, I mean, you know, I've talked a lot about false versions of the law of attraction and how the real law of attraction is natural law and aligning our behavior to it. But that adage that, you know, either way, if you believe in yourself or you don't, you're going to get the outcome that your mindset ultimately dictates in that regard. That's very much true. That's very much the case. That's very much how it actually works in reality and in nature. And so we have to step into that mindset
such
of
as
self-empowerment.
Man thinks, so he is. Such
there
as man thinks, so he is.
There it is. Yep.
And we are on the cusp of either total destruction or total liberation.
That's
and
right.
All I got to say is I'm having a blast standing up for the truth.
That's what I call in my work the critical moment of choice, as I wrote it out in my intro for my podcast. We really stand at that crossroads, you know, and they, as they say, at the crossroads, you meet the devil. You know, you meet evil at the crossroads, and you got to transcend it. You got to conquer that demon that lives inside of all of us, and then you have to proceed down the right pathway, which is the center path. You know, that's the whole idea. It's an allegory. You know, it is about what we are going to choose to do in the moment and how we are going to step into a sense of our own power to move the ball down the field and move in the right direction of learning and growth and spiritual development.
Well, Mark, hey,
thanks so much, man.
We're done again, but it's a good series. I appreciate coming on.
Thank you, Jay. Have a great one.
You too.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio.
join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty! Oh, give me!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and their global partners are destroying the deep state criminal power structure that has ruled over our planet for hundreds of years.
We are free with the God-given rights, and we shall not yield that right to any power on earth.
Hi, I'm Scott McKay. The world is at, and I am your host on The Tipping Point. On Revolution Radio, where every Monday from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, we bring you the latest